I spent 3 days in Hong Kong looking at the situation relatively closely. Hong Kong media, now there's a channel, public channel, has given a really extensive exposé of violence on both sides. And unfortunately, what's been missing from the Western coverage of the situation in Hong Kong is that good versus guy narrative is truly damaging the whole prospect of understanding of the issues. Going back into the earlier last year's or even previous year's demonstrations in Hong Kong, which were undertaken under so-called umbrella movement, I think the people and activists who are actively promoting spread of democracy in Hong Kong got a little bit disillusioned with the nonviolent process that is going nowhere, just the same way the occupying in the U.S. has taken root and kind of, feathered away. And now they're putting all the effort, especially the extreme elements of the so-called Free Hong Kong movement, into very severe and very atrocious violence. And
What
it's a
I heard,
sub.
Derek, is that it's that the umbrella movement was a couple of years ago, and it's actually like a next generation already. Is that correct, or is it the same people?
I mean, the same activists are taking place in the umbrella movement are still valid, are still taking place, to my understanding, in the current movement, which is actually leaderless. It's just more of a flat structure movement. But, I'll give you an example how this whole situation is really transpiring. Something very worrying happened 2 days ago in Brazil when there's a meeting between, so-called, alternative leadership to the U.S. movement. Putin, I think Modi and Bolsonaro and Xi Jinping is actually in Brazil right now. And Xi Jinping 2 days ago issued extremely severe statement. They're not going to tolerate a situation in Hong Kong anymore because it appears that China can handle the situation to be given to the local administration of Hong Kong, Carrie Lam in this case, as long as the issue does not become political liability for Xi Jinping at home, because it appears that degree of putting off the situation to the local authorities is showing Xi Jinping as a weak leader. And he's simply not going to allow this to happen. And what's really troubling about this whole movement is that degree of violence and needless destruction of property, that it's really kind of turning the whole movement sort of into this like a grotesque representation of the freedom fighting in spite itself. And I'll give you an example. They have Chinese, when I was in China, Chinese state media has been rolling over and over again of the same pictures of the activists from Hong Kong meeting with the U.S. officials, stating that this is the whole event is U.S. sponsored. I don't have proof of this, and my contacts in Washington are telling me that actually it's not so. So I do not have a proof to at this point to state that the whole Hong Kong free movement and different factions within it, they happen to be violent, reminding of the so-called Black Bloc, the anarchist movement, are causing all the trouble under U.S. direction. However, there are certain techniques and tactics being used, which I have seen that have happened in Ukraine. I have seen it have happened in Venezuela, the so-called Calle Ucraina project, where there have been a variety of different groups kind of hit and running the different points, choke points within the city, let's say major thoroughfare, highways, colleges, by taking out, attacking not only the Bank of China branches, but also ransacking stores. I've seen personally a literally about a mile and a half from where I was staying on Hong Kong Island, the area of 3 or 4 blocks in the city, a very busy place. The power transformer was taken out and completely plunged the whole district of the city into complete darkness in the evening. It's got so bad that the MTR, which has happened to be a local transportation authority, basically has put a curfew at 10 o'clock, stopping all the trains and all the buses from letting the activists using public transport to create chaos and havoc. I understand the popular sentiment within Hong Kong itself to be pro-democracy and pro-freedom, because they obviously are reacting to a very severe, a very prolonged, long-term effort by Beijing government to consolidate its power over Hong Kong and other places as well. They're using also a tactics of bringing Han majority people and Putonghua, the Mandarin-speaking people, into certain areas to kind of depopulate. I wouldn't use ethnic cleansing, but sort of like to change the demographics in Guangdong province, which is neighbors Hong Kong itself. For example, Guangdong is the majority speakers are people speaking Guangdonghua, which is a southern dialect. And now, because of the economic development in Hong Kong and Shenzhen area, the city neighboring Hong Kong, which is Shenzhen, is majority Mandarin speaking. And it used to be just speaking the same dialect like it was in Hong Kong in Guangzhou, for example. So the demographics are changing, and so are
So
the politics of the
can you
place.
say that again? So what is the traditional language in Hong Kong?
It's a Guangdonghua, which means a Guangzhou dialect,
Yes.
which is completely different than Mandarin. So a lot of, for example, if you watch the
And that's also
movies
what they
or
spoke, used to speak in Shenzhen, you said, which is next door, and now
yes,
it's
yes.
been moving to Mandarin.
Yes, because of the 80% of people from Shenzhen, which is one of the fastest growing cities in
Yep.
China, have become basically settled by people from all over China,
Immigrants, yeah.
and the local, yeah, and like local languages being demographics have been pushed out. So, the border city is becoming sort of like a European city between France and Germany, completely different languages being spoken, where this used to be one,
Yeah, but that was a relatively
cultural.
small town. I guess it's more difficult to, I mean, are you saying this is happening to Hong Kong as well, which is already very densely populated?
Yes, and this is one of the complaints right now in Hong Kong is that when since 1997, the central government has also been pushing Hong Kong to make it more Mandarin friendly, and they are teaching Mandarin at schools right now, and there are a lot of different cultural programs, and a lot of the people in Hong Kong are quite upset over this. But that said, there's also, and I'm not going to say this very lightly, a bit of a racist element involved also in the Hong Kong resistance against Chinese. Specifically, by one of the major interlocutors that is supporting the Free Hong Kong movement, basically a media tycoon portraying Chinese as locusts and vermin and really really racist derogatory remarks which mainly in Chinese
And who
people
is
who
he?
are oh he's a tycoon I forget his name right now, but he's one of the oligarchs in Hong Kong, a very wealthy person. That is supposedly bankrolling the movement. There are no proofs of it at all. But I just heard from other people who are telling me about this that, because they're very well organized as far as the overall
And
processes
Derek,
of
is it in your opinion, is there a movement or is it several movements? You said it's not centrally. There's no central control of it, but then you have, I mean, at some point there were 2 million people protesting peacefully, but there's violence now, probably by a smaller amount of people, I guess. So is it one movement or is it you got just extreme elements which do their thing and then.
It's a popular movement. It's very similar to what happened in Serbia with the Western sports sponsorship of the movement called Otpor when Milosevic was removed from power. So it's sort of like a very grassroots type of flat movement that's sort of coming in as a wave of people from different perspectives and different ways of life, kind of concentrating themselves on one mission. And they're obviously being, I don't know, I wouldn't use the word manipulated, but at least directed to certain goals. So what I've seen in Serbia is very similar to what's taking place in Hong Kong right now. And as it turned out later, Otpor has been heavily influenced by US money and think tanks. And there's a lot of resources which we put in put play into place later to have the Milosevic removed. And I see some very similar parallels to this as well. I would not basically state that this is all US supported or at least fueled by US money, or some kind of logistical support at this point, because I
Yeah,
have no
that's
proof
sort of
of
a bit what
this.
my question was. You got this mass movement of 2 million people, which I guess is not controlled by the US, but may contact city or people you spoke to in the US say that they don't think even the smaller ones and the more violent ones will be. But it's different groups, right? And if the US supports part of them, it's not total movement, is it?
It's quite possible, but I think the issue is it's somewhat like a, it's almost, I think, somewhat similar. Like if you would look as a comparison to what happened in 1981 in Poland during Solidarity Movement. You know, the Solidarity had 1.10 million members, and there are definitely elements of the Solidarity which were very militant, which are not, were not associated with the major movement itself. They're like a splinter groups, but they would direct a very confrontational and very aggressive policy towards the central government. So I think if you're looking for some kind of comparison, what happened in Poland, I think in 1980, 81 would probably be the good comparison to this at all. So there's a very popular wave of popular support towards independence, or at least largely understood autonomy on the left, on the weak side, and independence on the strong side. However, there are definitely opportunistic groups or some kind of vanguard groups which are want to basically take this issue even further with massive amount of violence.
We had in Europe, so we got the Yellow Vests things, which was actually getting in France. I mean, the repression by the police has been violent, but there has been violence by the Yellow Vests themselves as well. And what we had in the past, but not like the last couple of years, is in Greece, where there was an anarchist movement, which was quite, well,
I
maybe
think
not
it's a good
strong, but very
comparison.
active.
I think this would be good comparison. The only problem is that there's a very strong nationalistic, chauvinistic movement connected with this, almost fascist-like. You know, I've seen signs making Hong Kong great again, and also Trump
Okay,
2020 and the
earlier, Derek, you
flags.
mentioned that it was like the Chinese authorities, the government, the central government had, well, fascist behavior towards the Muslim minority. But now you say that also in Hong Kong, the nationalists there are, there's the same
Yeah,
problem.
this is what really troubles me. It's like one element of fascism is almost trying to resist the larger fascism in a way. I'm sorry to say it like this because maybe it's I don't mean to offend Hong Kong people because a lot of people are real well-meaning and they truly do want a respect for democracy and self-rule. First of all, one has to understand the structure of the Hong Kong state to really start delving into this problem. Hong Kong itself has been a corporate state from almost the day when it was founded under the British. And it's a business-friendly place where the laws of business are being observed. However, the current situation has culminated over many, many decades of the huge degree of social and political injustice and incredible inequality. In a place where I had an interesting conversation with a Japanese banker and that resides in Hong Kong during my stay there just recently, who actually told me that now for the average person to buy a two-room flat takes 21 years of income. 21 years. And you're not talking about spending any money on food, clothes, or the needs, just how expensive it got. So the place got to be a
So
really
does that
a
mean, I mean, it means like 21 years of 100% of your income?
Exactly. And
Yeah,
I think
it's
that
not 21 years
what
of
I think
savings,
would
it's
be
21 years of all your income.
no,
Yeah,
20
so
ways of a
you have
real
to buy
income.
it over several generations.
Yes. And the problem is, I think what's really not being emphasized by US media or by any mainstream media, in my reading of the situation, is that the Hong Kong protests are as much economic as political. And the US media simply does not pay any attention to this. People are really fed up and angry with the dismal reality of life in Hong Kong for regular people. The place is extremely expensive. My wife hasn't been there in 26 years. We went together last week, and we were just shocked that actually Hong Kong is more expensive than Tokyo now, while the salaries are much lower for basic stuff. What also shocked me is the degree of poverty that that regular Hong Kong residents are being experiencing. For example, we want to see the city, so we took a tram about half an hour away from our city to the end of the western to the eastern end of the Hong Kong Island. When we got off, we got treated to the scenery of about 50 or 60 senior citizens about 8 o'clock at night, waiting in front of the butcher shop for it to close because the butcher shop would be throwing away some food, meat, and they're waiting there with the shopping bags. I've never seen anything like this, even in times of the Soviet, maybe Eastern Europe. This is the degree of poverty that regular people are experiencing. And what's really not talked about is the degree of the financial and economic dispossession that takes place in Hong Kong by everyday citizens, which actually being galvanized as a driver to the political protests. And Carrie Lam last week has announced pretty extensive process of reform of investing public money, if I remember correct, $2.2 billion US dollars into expanding the so-called affordable housing and the public housing, for example, as a response to some of those issues. So I think there's a very strong undercurrent of economic issues which are not being displayed, and instead everything's being presented as some kind of a black and white issue of political empowerment of Hong Kongers versus the evil Chinese, which I think their issues are much more complex, much more, I think, economy driven per se. That said, what troubles me within this whole movement itself is that this really unnecessary wanton violence, not only by protesters, but also by the police. And I've personally observed some really interesting tactics, which I think come from the West, since Hong Kong police has been really well trained by, I think, British police, but others as well, of dealing with demonstrators. For example, they operate the Sprinter, Mercedes-Benz Sprinters vans, which are very popular in Europe, as you know. And they use them as sort of a kind of grab and run type of tactics where they'll locate certain type of degree of individual protester, which you want to go after. Then two vans pull up, the 10, 15 people automatically pull out, grab the person, put him back in the van. And the third van usually is about a team of 10 or 15 SWAT people, heavily armed, which is sort of kind of left to kind of cover the whole situation up from the crowd. And when people are being scared enough, intimidated enough to not to put pressure on the police to give the guy back away, which has been whisked away, then they pull back themselves in a van and leave. So the violence is on both sides. And I think the demonstrators have galvanized the violence to the degree where the police feels they have to respond with the same kind. And just in the recent demonstrations over the Hong Kong University, where the campus has been completely trashed, and there are some two people have died just last week, including 70-year-old guy who basically would disagree with protesters. He basically went in there to try to clean up the area from the gas canisters, rocks, and bricks. And he was basically killed by one of the protesters. So this is the degree of violence and this really truly reprehensible view that that kind of makes you wonder who's at the right, who's at the wrong here at this point.